Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, we are quickly approaching what is, for many, the most financially stressful time of the year, given that all the demands of the upcoming holiday season have a cost attached. But we have some advice to ease some of that anxiety. Also this morning, Fort Finley FOP Lodge 20 Foundation Development Director Teresa White puts the final touches on the 2024 Cops and Kids Finley Halloween Parade. And to your health this morning, more Americans than ever, over 100 million of us, are at risk of vascular disease and the serious, often life-threatening consequences that come with it. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Thursday, October 24th, 2024. So I never thought that we would have to say this, but here we are. You know, Halloween coming up, we're just through the Halloween parade. We've got trick-or-treat right around the corner this weekend in Finley. Do not throw your candy wrappers in the toilet. Don't flush your candy wrappers down the toilet. And I know that sounds like kind of a no-brainer. You think, who does this? Apparently in a village in England, the sewer system got backed up because it was stuffed full of candy wrappers, prompting water treatment workers to remind residents there to only flush those things that are designed to be flushed down the toilet, which would be, of course, you know, you do your business and toilet paper. That's it. That's really it. Beyond that, you really should not be. Who is flushing their candy wrappers down the toilet? The only thing that I can think of is that it's parents, moms and dads, who are trying to hide the evidence that they've been raiding their kids' stash of candy. They don't want the evidence just laying around or in the trash can where the kids might find it and realize that they've been robbed. And so that's the only thing I can think of. That is the only situation where I can think somebody might try and flush the candy wrappers down the toilet. Don't do that. Don't do that. I mean, if nothing else, think of the water treatment workers, the plumbers, etc., who have to clean out that crap. I mean, quite literally, clean out that. Yeah. So anyway, the wastewater networks for Southern Water in Shoreham, England, discovered stacks of discarded wrappers which had to be cleaned up before the whole town basically flooded because the sewer system was backed up. So, yeah, don't do that. That's advice this morning. Never thought that I would have to share that advice, but here we are. Let's see. What else is going on here? Among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, we are less than 2 weeks away from the presidential election. I think a lot of people will be glad when it's all over. 69% of Americans say that they are stressed about the election. This is a survey from the American Psychological Association. 77% of those in the survey say that they will vote, and maybe in some cases have already voted, in the 2024 presidential election. I understand that early voting has just been, the line for early voting here locally has been massively long and out the door. My wife did vote early. She told me the other day she went and voted early, and she said the line was, you know, out the door and around the building. So maybe you've already voted, maybe you will. 77% say that they will vote. We'll see if the turnout is that strong, but that's what they said in the survey. 69% of Americans are stressed about the election. The Stress in America poll also found that 77% are worried about the future of the nation. 20% limit time spent with family members who hold different political views. I mean, I know that the political climate is highly charged and sharply partisan, but this is more evidence, according to the CEO of the American Psychological Association, Arthur Evans Jr., so this is more evidence of the erosion of civil discourse and strained relationships due to the political climate today. That's taking it to an extreme. 20% have limited time spent with family members. Family members. Not just casual acquaintances or coworkers or whatever, but actual family members who hold different political views. Limited time spent with that. Hopefully only temporarily. Not necessarily holding out a whole lot of hope for that, but that is my hope that, you know, we can settle our differences on November 6th and move forward. Not necessarily expecting it, but you can always hope. But it's just more evidence that we are growing weary of politics in this country, but it is what it is, right? Yeah. Now, this is interesting. This is big news. Big news. I don't know if you've heard. Goldfish crackers are getting a fancy new name. They're trying to attract a more distinguished clientele. Find Goldfish crackers. Campbell's. I didn't know that Goldfish or Pepperidge Farm. Pepperidge Farm is owned by Campbell's. Campbell's has decided to change the name of its iconic Goldfish crackers. They will henceforth be called Chilean Sea Bass Baked Snack Crackers. Because Goldfish isn't distinguished enough, so they're Chilean Sea Bass Baked Snack Crackers. They are trying to emphasize that the snack is not just for kids. Hey, I like Goldfish crackers. I'm a fan, and I am not ashamed to admit it. But they are not just for kids. And this is, I mentioned the rebranding of Goldfish crackers. This is actually a publicity stunt. It is a temporary rebranding, and the only way to get to actually get the new labels, there'll still be Goldfish crackers on store shelves, but if you want the new packaging, calling them Chilean Sea Bass Baked Snack Crackers, you'll have to order those online. The strategy is a way of just capturing, they're doing this online, they're launching this campaign, social media, try and get a little viral publicity there. Little free publicity for the Goldfish crackers. And I guess it works because we're talking about it. But there you go. It says it'll be available for a limited time, but the story does not say just how limited that will be. How limited availability, limited time offer, I don't know. Anyway, you can go on the website and order the Chilean sea bass crackers. this is the time of year when we start to look ahead to 2025 and start to wonder what will the trends of the new year be, what's going to be trending, what's going to be hot. In fashion, apparently the look of 2025, once we get to the warmer weather, once we get back to the warmer weather, one-legged pants. What? One-legged pants are here. The emerging fashion trend has been shaking up runways, spotted at Louis Vuitton and several other designer labels. Fashion houses have been embracing the design, sending models down the catwalk and the runways with one leg covered and the other confidently bare. Now, you may remember years ago, Olympic gold medalist Florence Griffith Joyner, better known as FloJo, who was kind of known for setting fashion trends on and off the track, she had speed suits that had one leg covered and the other was not. And that was all the way back in the late 80s. A bold fashion statement at the time. So everything cycles around is new again. Fast forward to today, stars such as Serena Williams and Angel Reese have been seen wearing the trend. Let's see here. Serena Williams rocked a similar look during the Australian Open in 2021. And Angel Reese, the WNBA, is regularly seen wearing the trend during her Chicago Sky games. Taylor Swift also donned a one-legged pantsuit as one of her outfits during her stadium tour. And So you can Google it. If you're wondering what exactly this looks like, it's exactly what you would think. It's one leg and the other, there's no leg on the other side. So apparently this is expected to be the next big thing for spring. One-legged suits. One-legged pants or pantsuits. So. One leg. All right. Because apparently putting your legs in the in both legs of your pants is too complicated for us. Oh, that's too much work. We don't need to do that. We just need one leg. That's all we need. And finally, talking of talking about trends, this is kind of interesting. Analysts are saying that a significant rebound in home remodeling is coming next year. As the result of lowered interest rates, more homeowners borrowing against the rising value of their homes and spending that money on home renovations. A substantial amount of home equity that Americans have amassed thanks to sharply rising property values is getting cheaper to access because the Fed is now starting to cut interest rates. According to the Federal Reserve, Americans have more than $35 trillion in home equity. That is up 81% from the end of 2019. And that's an average of about $400,000 in equity per homeowner. And now, with interest rates coming back down, it's easier to and less expensive to unlock all of that equity. And renovation spending, they say, could reach an annual rate of $477 billion by this time next year. So, if you are thinking of doing a significant home renovation sometime in 2025, you are not alone. Kind of interesting there. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly sunny today with a high around 60, mostly clear tonight, low in the middle 40s. October is National Pedestrian Safety Month, and the Ohio Department of Transportation says of the 150 pedestrian deaths in the state last year, 103 occurred after dark. So far this year, there have been 84 pedestrian deaths, 73 of which occurred during dusk, dawn, or nighttime conditions. During National Pedestrian Safety Month, ODOT reminds drivers about the importance of obeying the speed limit, paying attention to the road ahead, and keeping an eye out for pedestrians. And those who are walking or biking should also remember that they, too, must follow the rules of the road and watch out for traffic. Get more in this story on our website. The Humane Society's Natalie Reffitt and her dog Emmett shared some Halloween pet safety tips during their recent appearance on WKXA's Wet Nose Wednesday segment with Rex Howard.
If you want to dress up your pets,
yes.
Some pets are okay with it,
right.
And some do not like it. So you just kind of have to go with what your pet wants to do. You shouldn't really force them.
And she says to make sure to keep candy out of reach of your pets and even be cautious about throwing away a partially eaten candy bar because your dog could find it in the trash and eat it. Listen to Rex's full interview with Natalie about Halloween and trick-or-treat pet safety tips in this story on our website. The City of Findlay will be offering a bulk trash drop-off for Findlay residents from Saturday, November 2nd to Saturday, November 9th. Dumpsters will be located at the Public Works Department at 330 North Corey Street, where city residents may dispose of unwanted debris. Hazardous materials and other items will not be accepted. Get more details in the story on our website. The Hancock Historical Museum will be showing an Alfred Hitchcock thriller for its October classic movie night on Friday night.
Two fellows meet accidentally, like you and me. No connection between them at all. Never saw each other before. Each one has somebody that he'd like to get rid of.
1951's Strangers on a Train stars Robert Walker and Farley Granger. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
Well, we are quickly coming up on what is for many the most financially stressful time of the year. With all the demands of the upcoming holiday season, it seems each one has some sort of cost attached to it. Cash App's financial therapist, Lindsay Brian Podvin, is with us now to help ease some of that stress. And Lindsay, what are some of the most common ones, the most frequent financial stressors that you see this time of year?
This time of year, the stress is really around how many different things are happening, and that stress can compound when we're trying to think about how we're going to manage gift giving, plus hosting gatherings, saying yes to different parties, and then also remembering, oh yeah, we set some financial goals for ourselves. Are we actually moving toward them? So it's struggling and being stressed out about all of the different things that we are spending money on and still need to be saving for.
And it seems like the stress just builds on top. I mean, any one of those things might be manageable, but you stack them all on top of each other, and then it can become overwhelming pretty quickly.
Right. That's exactly it. So one thing on its own might be a little bit stressful, but when we have so many different things coming at us all at once, that's where we kind of get into this fight, flight, freeze, and we don't know what to do.
And I thought it was really interesting, some of the data that you just released at Cash App, talking about younger generations, especially Gen Zers, it says here, feel stressed when their savings drop below a couple $100s. When they have less than a couple $100 in reserve, they really start to get nervous. That can be very easy to have happen this year. So what are your tips for alleviating this kind of financial anxiety?
So for Gen Z who's facing those additional pressures of kind of being new to the workforce, there are a few things that we can do, and not just for Gen Z, but for all generations. The very first thing to do, Chris, is to do a little money check-in. How much money is coming in? How much money is going out? And are there areas where you are spending right now that don't align with your values or don't align with your goals? And then start to pull back from those areas that don't work for you. And this might mean moving into the next tip, which is setting clear boundaries, opening up conversations with family and friends and saying, hey, I'm at my limit, or I can't participate in that additional gift exchange. Even though it feels stressful to say that out loud, having that transparency at the very beginning and in naming what you can and cannot do can actually relieve a lot of financial stress in the long run. And then finally, making sure that you have a goal. It's not just about spending less, but it's also about how can you save more, either building up something like a holiday fund for next year, so you're planned for next year, or deciding to prioritize something like an emergency fund.
You know, I often say that we really should not be taken this time of year should not take us by surprise. It happens every year the same time. We have Thanksgiving, we have Christmas, we have the holiday season come around. So it really should not be a shock. And yeah, that's lots of us are guilty of not saving. And I would imagine, you know, we talk about that $200 threshold being the stressor for Gen Zers. The older you get, the higher that threshold is. For me, I get a lot. I get just as nervous when I have a lot more than just $200, but that threshold is much higher for me. So talk about why it's important to have that plan and save and set aside money, especially when there's always the possibility of something more urgent will come along.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it, is that we're often not planning for something urgent or emergent to happen, but it does happen, right? We know that things like needing a car repair or fixing a leakage roof can happen. And so that's why it's so imperative that we have a rainy day fund or an emergency fund, so that when those things come at you, you don't have to stress out about how you'll afford it. And when you use something like Cash App Savings, you can set a specific goal in that app and get high yield on your savings. So every dollar you save is earning money, and you're able to save up a little bit more quickly for those different goals. So having that emergency fund or that rainy day fund can help you feel less stressed for when the unexpected happens.
When you get to that point where, and again, it happens to a lot of folks, where you realize I've overspent, I've really gone over my budget, I need to pull back at this point. Again, it's great if you can decide how you're going to attack that from the very beginning. But if you get to that point where you realize that you have overspent, then what next? How do we take steps to sort of get back on track?
I think the first thing is just acknowledging that overspending happens, and it doesn't mean that you have low willpower or you're bad. A lot of us can get caught up on being unkind to ourselves and really focusing on the negative. So instead, think about why you might have ended up where you did, and then try and see if you can find some meaning in that mistake, figuring out where things might have gone off the rails and trying to think about what are the things that you did do well. Once you kind of figure that out to build up better financial habits for the future, it's about focusing on progress. So yes, maybe you had a goal for yourself to save $500, but you were only able to save $400. It doesn't mean you failed at that goal. It just means you maybe set a goal that was a little bit too ambitious. So giving yourself permission to take small, consistent steps toward meeting that financial goal can help you to be nicer to yourself the way you might talk to a friend and make it more likely that you'll actually achieve that goal in the new year.
Yeah, don't look at it as though you didn't save $500. Look at it that you did save $400. It's a glass half full kind of thing. And then obviously on the other side of the holidays, we're coming into the new year, and that is when a lot of folks will make those financial resolutions and so on. Now's a good time to maybe start thinking about that as well. So looking ahead to 2025, what can we do to sort of get that started now? To be able to feel more confident in our financial outlook so that we, you know, go into the new year with that positive attitude.
Yeah, I think taking a look at how things went in 2024 can be a great way to decide how you'll set your goals for 2025. I think so often we think, okay, fresh start, clean slate, but we don't take into account what worked for us this year, what didn't work next year, and also thinking about what might be coming up for you around the holidays. Like you said, the holidays happen every single year, and maybe you are sick of feeling caught off guard. So maybe in 2025, you say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to set up a savings account that is specifically earmarked toward gifts or travel or holidays. So that way, the next holiday season, you're putting a little bit of money aside every single month so that the holiday years and the holiday season in 2025 doesn't catch you so off guard.
And with respect to making those goals for 2025, What would you say? Where would be the place to start in terms of making realistic financial goals? What are some of the best ones to be thinking about?
So I think we often think about having something like an emergency fund for those unexpected expenses, and that is so important. But it's also important to make sure that we're not so focused on just saving that we get off track because we're starting to feel deprived or starting to feel like we're missing out. So giving yourself permission to save in 2025, but also giving yourself permission to spend a little bit in a way that feels good. One of my favorite things about Cash App is with the Cash App card, you can turn on something called roundups. So every single time you spend, you're actually rounding up to that nearest dollar and adding that rounded up money into your savings. So every time you spend, you're actually saving and you don't have to think about it as much.
Again, Lindsay Brian Podvin is Cash App's financial therapist, talking about the stress of the upcoming holiday season and setting goals into the new year. Where do we get more information, Lindsay?
Yeah, Chris, have your listeners go to cash.app/savings.
Lindsay, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Fort Finley FOP Lodge 20 Foundation Development Director Teresa White is with us in the studio this morning. Put the final touches on this week's 2024 Cops and Kids Findlay Halloween Parade. I thought about inviting you in yesterday. I figured you're still probably recovering.
Yes. Yes. Recovery takes a few minutes. I am over 40. Recovery takes longer than it used to.
One of the things, and we were actually kind of talking about this during the parade broadcast on Tuesday, that people don't realize just how much work that goes into this on the day of. I mean, to say nothing of all of the preparation and the planning and organizing, recruiting volunteers, all of that. That you do, you know, weeks, even months in advance. But the day itself, I mean, it starts bright and early and goes right on through, you know, late at night.
It does. We actually get started on Monday, getting things prepared. Mm-hmm. We have a meeting on Monday at lunch with all of those who may not be attending all of our meetings prior. You were there for radio.
Right, right.
We also had representatives from the street department come and visit, just to make sure that everybody, that all of the plates are up and they are spinning all at the same time. And then on Tuesday morning, we get started a little bit before noon, making sure all of the supplies are organized, right, picking things up, dropping them off where they need to be. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of different start points at the parade. There's a check-in at Lake Cascades and Western. There's a check-in at South Main and Pearl. Mm-hmm. We stage bands at Jefferson School. So all of the supplies that each one of those people need have to be dropped off at their location.
And then Judges Square, where we are, and we had the food trucks and setting up for the quiet zone and, you know, the whole thing. I mean, all the way through, there's something that has to be done. And so, yeah, it takes a lot. And then, obviously, after the parade, tearing all that stuff down then.
Tearing everything down is quite a bit, making sure that all of those parts and pieces that got properly delivered are now retrieved.
Right.
Right now, they are all in a giant pile at my office, waiting patient to be cleaned and organized and put away for next year.
Yeah, so you get, that's the other part, is that you have to make sure that you know where you put everything so you can find it again next year. Because I know that there were some things. Where did we put those?
Yes, we did have quite a few of those. Where did that end up? Where did that get stored?
Where did that go? I know we've got these. Where were they? So kudos to all involved. And I know you have a lot of thank yous, because obviously it's not just a one-woman show.
No, our sponsors are fabulous, and we've spent the entire parade season thanking them. But we have quite a few who step up the day before the parade to really help things move along. Dean Sound was fabulous, making sure that everybody that was at Judges Square could hear everything. We had some assistance from K&T Rental. We had some assistance from Morrison Electric, helping us move things back and forth. We also had Portable Porcelain provided us a fabulous place for the judges if they needed to relieve themselves. We had quite a few of those day of extra assistance folks that just frankly do not get the recognition that they deserve.
Yeah.
Because every single one of them played an integral part.
And obviously, law enforcement, there's a strong law enforcement presence, not just to provide security, as they always do, but also helping out and, you know, keeping people safe, blocking off the streets, making sure people were, you know, going the right places and weren't going the places they shouldn't be going, you know, all of that fun stuff. So,
yes, the city of Findlay really is a silent partner in the parade. Between the police officers, which help us achieve our mission, I mean, positive interaction between youth and law enforcement,
right,
and the street department, making sure everybody is safe.
Yeah,
they were so helpful this year in stringing the ropes to keep everybody back. I mean, that is always one of the biggest complaints we get, especially from parade participants, is the bottlenecks, because people are in the street.
Yeah.
So this year we had the yellow ropes that were a visual barrier, and they were very, very, very helpful.
Yeah. And the street department also should a big shout out. They helped us with our broadcast in terms of stringing the lines so that we could get internet access to get the IP signal back on the air and streaming the parade, and they helped us out with that. And yeah, so a lot of assistance there as well. Sunbelt Rentals, again, I'll give them a plug to for the lift that they provided us and all of that. So and we're talking about people who helped out and volunteers. Kudos to the judges, King and Queen. Boy, you really nailed it with the King and Queen this year. They definitely personified the spirit of Halloween.
That is a fabulous addition to Judges Square. I absolutely love that. We put out a call for nominations, and the community really came through. It was a very tough choice for the committee to pick Ian Heikamp and Adriana Utrip as our parade King and Queen.
Yeah.
And they showed up. They were so stylish.
They looked like they were having a lot of fun.
Yes.
With all that, as all of the judges. But they did not have an easy choice. There were a lot of, and a big shout out to everyone who put in what had to be countless hours with some very, coming up with some very creative floats.
Yes. I mean, we put together the parade, but the hard work is actually those who are putting together the floats, putting together the parade entries, trying to figure out how much candy do we need to have, trying to figure out where are you going to build a float like that. I mean, I know not everybody has a giant barn sitting at home where you can build something like that.
Yeah.
And the judges had a terrible time trying to select our award winners this year.
Terrible in a good way.
Oh my goodness. They struggled. Our judges are fabulous. We had two FOP representatives. We had the state secretary of the FOP lodge, and we also had a retired FOP member, Tom Davis. And then we had a youth representative. Summer White was helpful. Also sang the national anthem there right prior to the parade.
Yep.
And then our king and queen, we had them sign confidentiality agreements because there was some conversation there, and it got heated a time or two because they were very, very passionate about what they felt was the best in show, or what they felt was the mm-hmm. funniest, or what they felt was the scariest.
Yeah.
And I am very excited to announce all of those winners today.
Okay, so, and I have to apologize because I was thinking that the winners would be posted yesterday. You actually have a live stream where you're going to reveal all of the float winners today. So
yes.
For those who were thinking that they were going to find out yesterday, that's on me because I had that wrong. You've got a live stream event on your Facebook page, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So this morning,
I had that part right. It's going to be on Facebook,
yes.
But it's going to be today.
Yes. So this morning, I will be leaving here and headed over to Fast Signs, which is another one of those phenomenal unsung sponsors. Did all of the banner work for us, and she is doing all of the awards for us.
Okay.
And is the only person outside the parade committee right now that knows who won everything.
Mm-hmm.
I will be headed over to pick up the awards.
Okay.
And then Scott Snapp and I will be gallivanting about the countryside today, surprising folks with their parade awards. And
that's awesome.
Absolutely. We'll be streaming all of it live on our Facebook page today.
Okay.
So if you are excited to see who was the foundation favorite, who was the scariest, the funniest, or the best in show, I suggest that you keep it tuned to Fort Finley FOP on Facebook today.
Okay. I have my thoughts on who the winners should be. So we'll see if the judges' thoughts align with mine. But again, there were just some terrific. I think probably more elaborate floats and displays this year than maybe what we have ever seen in the parade.
People are getting good.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah.
You know, the Halloween parade's been going on for many years. We've only had it for the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it has become a staple. It's become a tradition. I've already talked to people who, this is what we did this year and we liked it, but next year. So they're just like us. They are already planning for the 2025 parade.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Now you take a couple of days to rest and recover and recoup, and then it's starting to think ahead to what more can we add or do better or do differently, make it even bigger and better for next year.
Yes. So. And on that note, we have a survey on our Facebook page right now.
Okay.
So if there's something that you absolutely loved that was in the parade, please let me know so that we can keep it for next year. If there's something that you think that you can do different, please let us know, and we will just get those surveys filled out. I'm going to spend the next few days compiling all of the results. And then on Wednesday, October 30th, is the last meeting for the 2024 parade and the first meeting for the 2025 parade.
So already starting to get the plan. By the way, and I know we have talked about this before, the reason for all of this is to support all of the work of the Fort Finley FOP Foundation, Lodge 20, work the foundation does, including most notably Cops and Kids Go Shopping, because that is just right around the corner.
It is. It is. So all the proceeds from the Halloween parade go into the Cops and Kids Champion Fund, and that ensures continued positive interaction between youth and law enforcement and support of law enforcement in Hancock County. Our marquee program, Cops and Kids Go Shopping, is coming up. It'll be the first Sunday in December.
Okay.
So if you would like to support, but maybe Halloween isn't your bag, you can head over to FortFinleyFOP20.org and you can make a donation there.
We have that link on our webpage, and I know we'll talk more about Cops and Kids Go Shopping when we get a little bit closer, but if you want to help make that happen, you can go to goodmornings.net and find that link there. Again, Fort Finley FOP Lodge 20 Foundation Development Director Teresa White with us this morning. The final touches on the Halloween Parade. Winners to be announced beginning at 9:30 this morning.
So, as soon as I can get the awards and get out, we are going to start announcing the awards. Yes, sir.
Teresa, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Good Mornings with Chris Oaks on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
You want some broken news? We got some broken news for you this morning. We begin in Sherwood, Oregon, where the local police department came up with a unique idea for Halloween, a special game of hide and seek with a cop. This is actually it's more a game of tag. You know, it's hide and seek, and then you try and game of tag. Everybody knows hide and seek from when you were kids. And this particular iteration of this involves uniformed officers chasing participants through a local park. And it'll happen next Wednesday, October 30th. Anyone who is not tagged will receive an award. As one resident put it, you call it hide and seek. I call it resisting arrest for fun. Yeah, I can see where that would be. Make sure that everybody in the community is aware of what's going on. Otherwise, you see people chasing, cops chasing people through the park. I think something weird is going on, but it's just hide and seek with a cop. That's a good idea, though. Resisting arrest for fun. Let's see. What else is going on? This from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where Joseph Williams apparently had a beef with another guy, so he asked a buddy to drive him over to this over to his neighbor's home. Apparently, they live quite a ways apart. He needed a ride. So Mr. Williams asks a friend to drive him over to this guy's home, where he proceeded to get out of the vehicle and assault two people. Nice. Can you drive me over to this guy's house? So a friend drives him over. He gets out and assaults two people. Apparently, Mr. Williams was inebriated at the time of the incident. But here's the kicker. Not only is he facing charges of assault, he is facing charges of corruption of a minor, because the guy he asked to drive him over to assault the people is underage. He asked a juvenile to drive him to the fight, and so now he's charged with corruption of a minor. I bet he didn't expect that. Alrighty then. Some weirdness in Manassas, Virginia to report. Homeowners a little weirded out, but unhurt after finding a stranger sleeping on their couch. Police responded to a home in Manassas, detained one Yanya Torres. Nothing was taken from the home. Police say Mr. Torres may have just been confused about where he was napping. entered a stranger's home and just took a nap on the couch. Police say he may have been confused, probably because he was intoxicated. He is charged with burglary, even though nothing was taken. He is charged with burglary, breaking and entering, drug possession, and public intoxication. He wasn't really intoxicated in public. He was in a home, just not his own. Anyway. Speaking, people, when they are intoxicated, do weird things. And here's another case. A Vermont man is facing charges of DUI for allegedly failing to stop at the Canadian border. when the provincial police, Ontario provincial police, finally caught up with him, he told them he wasn't aware that he had crossed the border. He thought he was still in the U.S. He thought, what, I'm not in America anymore? Police caught up with the 52-year-old after his truck got stuck in a drive-thru and had flat tires, according to a report by Canadian news outlets. He's the man from Milton, Vermont. Name is not given here. Has been charged with operation while impaired. He was also slapped with the charge of willfully evading compliance with a customs officer and contravening the Immigration and Refugee Protection Act by failing to appear for an examination. He is due back in court in December. He'll have to cross the border and knowingly cross the border December 17th for his court date. What, I'm not in the U.S. anymore? And when did that happen? When did I end up in Canada? Wow. Let's see. A couple of other items. Speaking of our neighbors to the north, a new kind of theft is spreading in one Canadian city, in Guelph, a city in Ontario. Grocery stores have experienced large-scale thefts involving butter. Apparently, there's a butter ring, a hot butter ring, so to speak. I don't know, black market butter, is that a big thing in Canada? Apparently. Seven thefts of butter have been recorded in the last 10 months, according to local news reports. All with the same MO, the thieves place multiple cases of butter in a shopping cart and then leave through a receiving door or emergency exit, making their getaway in an awaiting car. The suspects, who most recently made off with $936 worth of butter, all fit the same description as previous heists, though it is not known if all of the thefts are related. So, same MO, same description. You would think they were probably related. Grandmas all over Guelph, Ontario are suspected for making Christmas cookies. Stealing butter. We've got a lot of unusual thefts in the broken news, but large amounts of butter. There it is. So when you're doing your holiday baking, make sure you buy your butter from a reputable source. You don't want them to be, your Christmas cookies to be seized as evidence. And finally, a story that is probably not a surprise. You knew that this, something like this would happen eventually. In Chesterton, Maryland, Washington College, there in Chesterton, has had to redesign their logo because the students can't read it. In 2013, the college, which is named after George Washington, the first president of the U.S., the college unveiled a new logo that featured George Washington's original signature. But because cursive is no longer taught universally, the script, especially this highly stylized version, was difficult to read and not immediately recognizable for many prospective students. The vice president of Washington College, the vice president for marketing and communication, said in a news release, because the prospective students couldn't read it, this was counterproductive when it came to name recognition and identity. Yeah, name recognition is not good if they can't recognize the writing of Washington College. So they had to redesign the logo because students, prospective students, couldn't read cursive. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, a collection of the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Ohio needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
This message from WFIN and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. One of the ongoing narratives in terms of the economy, this is under the economic umbrella, has been the affordability and the availability of housing. And according to a new survey that was commissioned by Built, which is a platform, financial management and loan management platform for those in the real estate industry, commissioned the survey, found that 61% of American parents, 61% of American parents are worried that their children will not be able to afford a home when they get older. The CEO of Built, Chase Gilbert, said with housing affordability top of mind for voters, the election coming up, political candidates will not be able to sidestep the pressure to deliver real, actionable solutions. Given that nearly two-thirds of American parents are worried their kids won't be able to afford a home, this is something that voters are very concerned about. And it was kind of interesting in the survey, they found, and this is the political side of it, 67%, fully two-thirds of those in the survey, support the proposal by Kamala Harris for a $25,000 first-time homebuyer grant and to make housing a little more affordable, because the down payment oftentimes is the biggest sticking point. 42% support Donald Trump's idea to open up federal land for housing development and construction, which is kind of interesting. And on a side note, this is a separate analysis by Self, Inc. They looked at the amount of time that the average American, never mind buying a home, just having a home, even that you rent, is getting more expensive. The average American has to work 50 hours a month to afford rent, according to this analysis. Now, that varies from state to state. Hawaiians have to put in the most hours at 66.2. On the low end, the average North Dakotan only has to work 34 hours to cover this expense. In Ohio, it comes out to 40.1 hours a month to make rent on average. But to your health this morning, more Americans than ever are at risk of vascular disease. In fact, more than 100 million people in the U.S. are at high risk. And joining us this morning is vascular surgeon Dr. William Schutz to talk about the warning signs and how prevention and screening can prevent some pretty serious consequences and even save lives. Dr. Schutz, first of all, thanks very much for taking the time. Let's talk about, start at the very beginning, very basics here. What is vascular disease and why is this something that we should be concerned about?
Great question, Chris. Yeah, everybody's familiar with the heart and how important the heart is as an organ to pump blood throughout the body and keep us alive and healthy. But how does the blood actually get to our organs? Well, it does that through the vascular system. What is the vascular system? Well, it is a 60,000-mile network of arteries and veins and capillaries that take that blood from the heart and deliver oxygen and nutrients to the organs and then bring it back to the heart to be restored again and sent back out. And if that vascular highway system, just like our own highway systems in this country and around our cities and towns and states, if it's not working, if the road's broken or damaged or blocked or has potholes, then traffic's not going to flow. Same thing with the vascular system. Blood's not going to flow properly. And if the organs aren't getting a proper amount of blood flow, they're not going to function properly. And complications can occur from these diseased arteries. If they stretch up and turn into aneurysms, they can rupture and bleed and lead to death. Blood clots can form, and that can lead to catastrophic consequences like stroke and embolism. So it's super important to be aware of the vascular system as a huge component of our cardiovascular health. And as people get older, the wear and tear on these blood vessels sets in, just like with our highways. As those roads get older, we've all driven down them, and we watch them just gradually erode away, mm-hmm. you know. But you can see those, and you can see they need repaired. But you can't see our blood vessels, right? So how do you know your blood vessels are yeah. damaged or diseased, at risk and having problems? Well, you think, well, a symptom will show up. But unfortunately, that happens late when there's been really serious damage. We want this campaign to get people thinking about their blood vessels at an earlier stage.
That was what I was going to ask. Are there warning signs? Are there any early warning signs? You say many of them don't show up until at least some damage has been done and it's, becomes more complicated to address, obviously. Are there any early warning signs that people can watch out for?
You know, and that's the issue. There usually are not. The symptoms come late. So how do you know your blood vessels are damaged? Well, you have certain other issues that put you at risk for damaged blood vessels. And you just have to be aware that damaged blood vessels is very common. You mentioned 100 million, yes. And baby boomers are the highest risk group because it's all those years of wear and tear are now coming to fruition, right?
Yeah.
So if you're a baby boomer, you need to start thinking about your blood vessels and blood vessel health before symptoms start. And what other things might increase your risk of blood vessel issues? Well, if you have diabetes, if you have high blood pressure, if you have high cholesterol, especially if you smoke, one or more of those things and you start adding them up, all those things damage our blood vessels. You need to start thinking about your blood vessel health and have that conversation with your doctor. Are my blood vessels sick? How do I know? How do I know they're healthy or not healthy? Should I see a vascular surgeon to have my blood vessels evaluated and checked? You know, vascular surgeons are the primary caregivers for vascular conditions. We treat everything from early diagnosis all the way through. Early diagnosis, medication adjustments, lifestyle advice, monitoring, and then if imaging needs to be done, there's all kinds of imaging we can do to look at your blood vessels and determine whether they're healthy or sick. We can, and then treatments. There's all kinds of treatments if necessary. Stents, balloons, angioplasties, roto-rooters. We can even do surgery, bypass surgery, operate on the blood vessels and replace them if needed. So,
obviously,
if you're a baby boomer, think about the risk before the symptoms occur. Once the symptoms happen, you can be treated, but it's very late in the disease.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. Obviously, the later you catch this, then the options are much more limited. You talk about any number of treatment options that are out there, but the later this goes, obviously, those become more limited.
Yeah, vascular surgeons have all the tools available to treat patients with advanced disease requiring treatment. But, you know, our real goal is to educate our patients and the people and try to keep them from having these procedures.
Yeah.
Keep their blood vessels healthy throughout their lives. For us, that's a win. That's the ultimate goal. And we've launched a new website to help patients understand the circulatory system, understand how their vascular highway works, learn how to take care of it, and learn what they can do to keep it healthy. Also to inform them what treatments are available. So yourvascularhealth.org is a fantastic resource for patients to go and learn more about them.
So let's talk a little bit about that in terms of maintaining vascular health. What are some examples of things that individuals can do to maintain good vascular health and prevent vascular disease in the first place?
Absolutely. Prevention is key. With this, as it is with all illnesses, right? So live a healthy lifestyle. Everybody knows what that means. You know, get up and be active. Even 30 minutes of walking a day has a tremendous benefit for our blood vessels and keeping them healthy. So just easy walking, 30 minutes a day, so easy. Eat a healthy diet. You know, we all love really good food. Unfortunately, sometimes the best food is the worst food for us.
Right.
Be careful with that, but try to eat as healthy as you can most of the time. And then these other things we talked about, you've got to take care of your diabetes and make sure that blood sugar is under control. You've got to make sure your blood pressure is hitting its target with the medications you're on. And you've got to make sure that your cholesterol medication is working to take care of your cholesterol. And again, avoid tobacco at all costs. You can do everything just right, but if you're still smoking, your blood vessels are getting damaged.
Yeah. We mentioned at the outset that more Americans are at risk of vascular disease than ever before. Why is that? Is there a reason why people are more at risk today than they were, you know, in years past?
It's a combination of factors. It starts, number one, with the baby boomer population just being so big, such a big group that has now moved into that older age category where their arteries, their highways are just have been beat up over the years. And in this country, we've had a tremendous problem with diabetes. The incidence of diabetes is skyrocketing. Diabetes is when anytime that blood sugar is elevated, even just a little bit, the damage starts. And the higher it is above normal, the more damage you're having to your blood vessels. And then high blood pressure. Again, the silent killer out there. And people don't understand how bad high blood pressure is for your arteries. Mm. You're just getting beat up heartbeat after heartbeat with that high blood pressure on your arteries. So your arteries have no choice but to thicken and respond to the beating they're getting.
talking about the warning signs and how prevention and screening can prevent the consequences, the very serious consequences of vascular disease. Vascular surgeon Dr. William Schutz with us this morning. You mentioned the website where folks can find more resources on this topic. Mention that again.
YourVascularHealth.org.
To your health this morning, Dr. Schutz, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. It was a pleasure.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll preview the final week of the high school football regular season before playoffs begin. We've got another collection of great recipes from Kyra's Kitchen, and they are the most popular vehicles on the road today. Motor Trend reveals its pick for 2025 SUV of the year. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.